This is Leafs Breakfast.
It's a good team effort all the way through. Great road trip for us. This is a challenging game, to get through here at the end of a long trip. But guys dug in, and got a win, and let us go home with it, a nice clean trip here. So really proud of the group.
An early edition of Leafs Breakfast here on First Up. Korolnik and Koliakova with you. The Toronto Maple Leafs, 5-1 winners last night against the Anaheim Ducks. A sweep of the California road trip. 18-4 goal differential in the three games. Never trailing. Things are looking good in Leafland. Let's welcome in TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger. Good morning, Dregs. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, guys.
Thank you very much for joining us so early this morning, and we appreciate the time as always, because there's a lot to talk about in the hockey world. I mean, beyond the Leafs, my goodness, I can imagine how busy a weekend it was for you, but 14 of 16, Dregs, and our colleague Pierre LeBrun using the J word last night with regards to the Leafs, juggernaut. What do you make of everything you've seen from the Leafs, and should Leafs fans start to believe, Dregs?
Yes, absolutely. Why not? And look, I also understand the fairness of us questioning that until they get past the round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's just the curse that's going to continue to follow this team until it's exercised. That's just the reality. But you can't push away from the fact that this team is clicking on all cylinders. And not just that they're winning games. It's how they're winning games, how well they're defending. Their goaltending is good. They're getting timely goals. I mean, that team they beat last night, the Anaheim Ducks, they're no fluke. This is a team that's really come together this season. Yeah, they've stumbled a little bit over their last 7-8 games, something along those lines. But look, the way the Leafs played last night, I think they're capable of beating pretty much every team in the league. Now, are they going to do that? No, there's going to be stumbles along the way. And they've had those of late, too. But the correction is almost immediate. They drop the 2-0 game to the Pittsburgh Penguins and then get right back at it, jump onto the road, play three pretty tough teams, and have success. Again, it's how they're winning games. Not just that Matthews is scoring 5-on-5 again. The Tavares line appears to be clicking with Willie going. Wayne Simmons has come alive offensively here in the last few games. It's not just all of that. It's the detail that I'm now seeing consistently in their game that impresses me the most.
Yeah, well, you just said it, Dregs. It's consistency throughout their lineup. And, you talk about the best players being the best players. Check mark on that. Power playing special teams, check mark on that. The play they play defense, check mark on that. And most impressively is the goaltending they've been getting, which has been world-class by Jack Campbell. And even in spot starts right now with Joseph Woll, that's been a nice comforting thing for this Maple Leafs team. And it's amazing how much confidence it gives the players in front of them, which is what we're seeing with this group right now, is a level of confidence that has allowed them to be as good as they are. But how much credit do you give Sheldon Keefe for the success? Because I was blown away by this stat that was shared over the weekend. Now, the Maple Leafs improved to 77-35-13 in 125 games that Sheldon Keefe has coached. That's the most wins in the first 125 games as a Maple Leafs coach in franchise history. I mean, the job that he's done this year, even early on the season through the struggles, keeping the team together, trying to push narratives and certain messages, and obviously having the success that they've had rolling guys in and out of the lineup. So how much credit do you give him?
Yeah, I give him a lot of credit. When times go poorly with the Maple Leafs, there's a lot of finger-pointing, and the coach and the general manager, senior management, are always the guys that are identified first, right? And then you look at the players, of course, and if this guy isn't pulling his weight offensively, he's going to take some of the heat for that, as they should. These guys are high-paid athletes. So when things are going well, and you just named off some pretty impressive numbers under the guidance of the head coach, then the head coach deserves and should get the credit, or at least some of that credit. And, Sheldon's a very approachable guy, but I get the sense in any dealings that I've had with him, he's also a young coach who knows that he has a lot more to learn. So he listens, and he watches, and he corrects, and he's got more bite than I think people would appreciate. And maybe we learned that a little bit from the documentary, right? So, look, if he needs to sit William Nylander for the final 2.5 minutes of a game or whatever because there's something in there he didn't like, or more importantly, there's another player going who is going to give him something to close that game that maybe Nylander didn't have that particular night, and he's going to make that call. Yeah. So, you know, those are in-game adjustments and recognitions that I think he definitely deserves credit for. This is a real good team. And they're well coached, and anybody who questions the phrase buy-in should stop doing that right now, because it looks to me like this group is fully bought into the coaching staff and just the direction that they now know that they need to be able to go in.
In conversation with our TSN hockey insider, Darren Dreger, here on Leafs Breakfast. And Dregs, you go back to the playoffs last year, the Montreal Canadiens defeating the Toronto Maple Leafs, and my, how the tables have turned. I mean, complete house cleaning yesterday with Montreal, Bergevin, Timmins, their PR director also out. What was your reaction when you saw everything that transpired with the Habs yesterday?
Yeah, we knew it was coming. Maybe not as sweeping as it ended up being. It had become pretty clear over the last few days, I would say, that Bergevin was out as general manager. And look, we as insiders have been working on the angle Jeff Gorton going into Montreal as the executive vice president of hockey operations over the course of the weekend. So nothing surprising in that. And, you know, look, I don't know how well Jeff Gorton knows Trevor Timmins or knows Paul Wilson, but those three men, Bergevin, Wilson, and Trevor Timmins, are aligned. And that's not unusual in hockey operations department. So if you're Jeff Gorton going into that situation, you might as well have a clean slate. You know, go through that process. As the statement from the Montreal Canadiens clearly indicates, the hired general manager is going to have to be able to speak French. And that just makes sense, given the market, obviously, that Montreal has to deal with day in and day out. So they're going to go through that process. But I'm sure Jeff Gorton wasn't necessarily willing to go through it and jump on board with potentially other positions looming around the National Hockey League unless he more or less has carte blanche to hire the people with the parameters that he has to work with. But it's one thing to hire guys, and it's quite another to have to go in and fire everybody first. So I think that Jeff Molson ownership of the Montreal Canadiens did what they had to do. You know, they cleaned house, and in conjunction with that brought in a highly respected hockey man in Jeff Gorton.
Drex, we can all sit here and respect the Montreal Canadiens and their wishes on the way they run the organization and how having bilingual people in there is a priority for them. But do you think that sort of handicaps them in a sense where they're not necessarily hiring the best candidates all the time because there's people out there that don't speak both languages? And clearly with this Jeff Gorton hire and the title that he was given, president of hockey ops, do you think this is sort of a change in direction that they're going where he's the guy on top and maybe the hire a general manager will be somebody that maybe Gorton can groom and handle all the media requirements?
I think that's fair. And you know, if there was an obvious candidate available, and maybe that obvious candidate is Jeff Gorton, who is now property of the Montreal Canadiens, so why not name him president and general manager? We've seen that many times around the National Hockey League before. But look, you know, Montreal is a unique area and a unique organization under the umbrella of the National Hockey League, and I can appreciate why you do need a French-speaking head coach and a French-speaking general manager. Does that make it more difficult on Jeff Molson and now Jeff Gorton? Yes, of course it does. But what's wrong, guys, with thinking and looking outside the box, right? Mm-hmm. There's been a fair bit of speculation on Matthew Darche. Carlo, you'd have played against him. You know, I've kept my eye on Matthew Darche for a long time just because of how he has developed in Tampa Bay, you know, behind the scenes, but a very big part of that management crew. So what's the harm in going with a young manager like that, if that's the person that they identify in this process as the best for the job, working with a seasoned hockey exec in Jeff Gorton, and then trying out some fresh ideas and different looks and different philosophies? I applaud that, because the National Hockey League historically can be a retread league, right? Where, this coach gets let go. Well, he's got an unbelievable resume. He's coached you know, how many hundreds, thousands of games. You know, let's hire him because we know that he can coach. Instead of, well, who's the right guy for the job, you know? So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. But, and look, Darche's name is out there. I'm not saying with any level of certainty that he is going to get the job, but I'd be shocked if he wasn't highly rated and ranked as Gordon goes into this process. But that's an example of thinking a little differently and not looking at the experienced general manager who may be sitting on the sidelines waiting for his next job.
Darren, we have not seen Evander Kane yet this year after he fabricated his vaccine status coming to camp. So he was suspended for 21 games. Those 21 games have elapsed, and San Jose placed him on waivers. Reportedly, that there are teams who are interested in acquiring Kane, notably from the Eastern Conference. What can you tell us about the likelihood of that happening?
Well, I guess I'd be a bit surprised because of the contract. Right. You know, there's still a bit of time there. It's a big deal. And, you know, I've always been a fan of Evander Kane when he's focused and playing the game the way he can play the game. Right. He's got an elite skill set to him. He can be that power forward when you need him to, but he can't get out of his own way. There always seems to be something that follows this guy off ice. And
every 2 weeks, something pops up.
Yeah. It feels like that's the case, and that's not exaggerating. So as much as, you know, again, the hockey people making those decisions with the teams that may have discussed bringing Evander Kane in, I trust their eye, I trust their instincts. Do you not have to have that conversation and go, really? Like, is this going to be worth it? Like, what are we getting ourselves into? How desperate a need do you have for a player of his skill set to bring on all the extra baggage? So I'd be a bit surprised if he's claimed off waivers, to be fair.
And I believe I read through one of the San Jose reporters, too, that the Sharks would be willing to eat half of his salary if somebody was to take him on. I think that's just the move that they want to take with him. But we'll see what happens here. Yeah. Another name that hit the waiver wire over the weekend in a surprise move out in Ottawa was Matt Murray, being put on waivers by the Ottawa Senators. And help us understand the future right now of Matt Murray. He cleared waivers yesterday. Does that mean he's staying with the big club? Yeah. Is he going down to the minors? Are they trying to work out a deal here? Help us understand the move behind
this. Yeah, no. You know what, Carlo? My understanding is that Matt Murray is going to report to Belleville, to the American Hockey League. And I believe his first practice there will be tomorrow. Curious decision by Pierre Dorion. Curious. I think that we can understand why DJ Smith and the Sens generally are frustrated by the play of Matt Murray, and by extension, their goaltending. Their goaltending hasn't been good enough this year. You know, there have been games where they're in it and they just need that save. You know, they're chasing a game, maybe down a goal, and then goaltending will give up a bad one, and now you're effectively out of it. They've had a few games like that of late, to be fair. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, there was a discussion with Matt Murray as he came out of COVID. And, Carlo, I don't know if you're hearing this around the NHL or not. I know I am. Some of the players who have dealt with COVID had real symptoms. And some of them, star guys, are struggling to get their game back. You know, maybe the wind isn't there. You know, their conditioning isn't what it was prior to COVID, those sorts of issues. And I believe that Matt Murray has felt the effects of COVID. You know, he gets a practice, he gets a game, neither goes very well for him, and the next thing you know, he's a healthy scratch, and then he's placed on waivers. And look, I went around the league a little bit, and Ottawa's not trying to trade Matt Murray. It always makes more sense to me that you try and trade the player first before you put him on waivers.
No kidding.
You know, why wouldn't you want to move out the contract, and, you know, maybe something creative can be developed. But, you know, management continues to say in Ottawa that they want Matt Murray to find his game. They still see him as part of their future. So not sure how he's going to find it in Belleville, but that's the challenge for him at this stage.
Drags, let's stick with the Ottawa Senators. And Brady Tkachuk made some, he was very displeased, and rightfully so, with what happened on Saturday. Brendan Lemieux of the Rangers bites him. Brady Tkachuk is bleeding. And after the game, Tkachuk goes on an all-time tirade, and the new favorite term of endearment here on this show is Brickhead, which is what Tkachuk called Brendan Lemieux. Now, in-person hearing scheduled for Lemieux. What type of suspension are you expecting for biting Tkachuk?
Yeah, I mean, we're always kind of taking an educated guess when it comes to player safety and guessing what number would be applied in suspension. This feels somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 games for me, which that's a lot. But, it, you know, you're invited to the in-person hearing, which allows the National Hockey League to suspend 6 or more. Doesn't mean they have to do that. And it allows the player, in this case, Brendan Lemieux, to, you know, kind of argue his case. I don't know what his defense is going to be. I'm not sure there can be any defense. And he probably should take the tactic of diving on the sword and just apologizing and just heat of the moment stuff. I lost my mind, whatever. You know, maybe that lessens it somewhat. If he goes in there and says, I didn't do it, and we can all see and the visual evidence is there, you know, it's just flat out gross and unacceptable. You know, it's like eye gouging for me. I mean, you just can't do it. I don't, you know, wires touch through frustration and anger and all of that. You can't cross a line to that degree. Especially in a world that we're now trying to live in a pandemic. So I think that the NHL is going to, you know, slap him pretty hard here. And then maybe it creeps up to 9-10 games, depending on, you know, his approach in trying to defend his act. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting one for sure.
I think Mike Tyson was banned for life when he bit off Holyfield's ear. So.
Hannibal Lecter. Hannibal Lecter Lemieux.
I don't know.
Bit it off.
Yeah, no kidding. But what would you do if somebody threw a glove at you? I mean, clearly, at Temi Panarin, I mean, him and Marshawn had a pretty hilarious beef, and which ended up resulting in a $5,000 fine. I don't understand the fine behind it, but, you know, clearly it was something pretty comical for all of us to watch.
Yeah, you know what, Carlo? It's one of those things that hockey operations, the National Hockey League, and in this case, Department of Player Safety, take pretty seriously, even though you're right. It was entertaining. It was amusing. It was a bit goofy. You know,
yeah.
What do you,
there's 12 seconds left in the game.
Now, you know, Brad Marchand has a protruding nose, so there's a lot to hit there with the glove.
Nice. You know,
maybe that was his aim, and he missed the mark a little bit, but in all seriousness, what happens is, look, you know, like any time there's any shenanigans in the pregame warmups or any of that, league takes that stuff very, very seriously. And any interaction from the bench to the ice, or in this case, bench to bench, even though it looks harmless enough, I mean, you know, it looks a little foolish, a grown man taking his glove off and throwing his glove at another player. The league takes it seriously. They do. Mm-hmm. They don't like that sort of back and forth. So $5,000, based on the money that Artemi Panarin makes for the New York Rangers is chump change, obviously. I mean, that's not even shopping money for him. So,
well, he referenced that. He basically said he thanked the previous Rangers general manager for paying him $11 million so he can afford $5,000 of it.
Yeah. So, at the end of the day, you have, you know, two opposite reactions, right, and outcomes here. You know, you've got Brendan Lemieux biting Brady Tkachuk, well, once for sure, maybe twice, according to Brady. And then you have Panarin throwing his glove at Brad Marchand. And the outcomes are going to be significantly different. I can tell you, Lemieux is going to lose a lot more money than $5,000.
Darren, thanks so much for joining us. A belated congrats to your Saskatchewan Rough Riders for the big W yesterday in overtime as well. I'm sure you dialed into that. That was exciting stuff. So thank you so much, my man, and enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you on Friday.
All right, guys. Take care.
TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger. You forget a TSN. Like, you know, people from all around the country, like Dreg's from Saskatchewan. I think, Darren Detition also from Saskatchewan.
Craig Button from Calgary.
Craig Button, there's
Ray Ferraro from Vancouver.
Exactly. So
Noodles from Calgary, but he currently resides here in Toronto.
Correct. All right. Where did everybody live at TSN? Let's go through the whole staff list here. Okay, here we go.
You know what? If we were in studio and me and you were having an argument and I picked up my drink and hoofed it at you in the middle of a conversation, you think Jeff McDonald would fine me?
Jeff McDonald, would he fine you? I don't think so. I don't think he cares about you and I too much anymore.
How much do you think, how much do you think our producer Arad and 20 Fingers would be laughing through the screen if they saw me and you get into a throwing match fight?
Yeah, well, it wouldn't work so well for you. I mean, this golden arm, this golden right arm of mine, very accurate. Very, very Kevin Gosman-esque. Is my throwing arm. Yeah. Oh, 20 Fingers. I was the B'nai B'rith MVP in 2014, so
B'nai
be careful
B'rith?
About that buzzer. That softball league, yeah.
Wow, okay, cool.
Yeah, so shout out to me, MVP. You know, I played center field, shortstop, dominant force, hitting third in the lineup, but who's counting? In any case, the opposite of dominant force is the L.A. Rams right now, and man, their offense sucks. Matt Stafford, another pick six. That's three straight games with a pick six. You know how many pick sixes Aaron Rodgers has in his career? Three! And Matt Stafford has three in his last three games. The Rams are reeling. And, you know, when they brought in OBJ, when they brought in Von Miller, a lot of people were like, all right, the Rams, are they now the best team in the NFC? They have been anything but. And we'll get into the Rams and the NFL story from week 12 next on First Up.